fighting for America.
Rooting out a cancer like ISIL won't be easy and it won't be quick. But tyrants and murderers before them should recognize that kind of hateful vision ultimately is no match for the strength and hopes of people who stand together.
Fighting for Idaho.
We will kickstart our economy. We will reform K-12 education, and we will get Arizona out from underneath the thumb of our federal government.
Fighting for you.
It's that time of year for the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Our friend Scott Spencer with us.
It's an iconic community tradition, and I'm so pleased that my guys are all involved in it. I get very excited about it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, currently it is 58 degrees right now in Eagle with Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic underway. We go to our great friend, meteorologist Larry Gebert. Hello, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to talk to you this morning.
Great to talk to you. One of your favorite events, although you're involved in so many. Your thoughts today?
Today is like one of those ideal days. It's perfect. You may remember last year we had several days we couldn't launch. We had as many as almost 50 balloons on Sunday morning last year that couldn't launch because of the wind conditions in the area. So what they did was more than half of those pilots set up their balloons, tethered them, and gave rides to the kids. So based on that, they decided that was such a fun event. That's why today is Town Square Media Kids Day. And this is the day that has been sponsored by you guys at KIDO, 580 KIDO, and all the other good stations that are involved with Town Square Media. This is Kids Day. We're inviting kids to come out. About half of the balloons on the field this morning will stay tethered to the ground. The other half are going to fly. Now, today is kind of a smaller start. There's 20 of the balloon pilots who are here this morning, so roughly about 10 will be in the air. 10 will be down here on the ground, and I can tell you, Kevin, that the conditions are pretty much ideal. As we did the readings of the air over the field this morning, up to about 2,000 feet, most of the winds are moving just very gently out of the southeast or the east, so that means that the pilots are just going to fly very gently over the city this morning. For those who are out driving and listening to you this morning, don't watch the balloons while driving. If you feel like you want to watch the balloons, pull over and take a gander. But you will see at least about 10 of the pilots are going to be up in the sky this morning. The rest will stay tethered here at the park to give kids rides.
Larry Gebert joining us from Channel 7 here. Larry, what's it like for you to be doing this?
It's a lot of fun, Kevin. You know, since we are the official station and I'm the official meteorologist that does the pilot briefings for this event, you know, there's a science that goes into this. We use a theodolite, which is normally our surveying type of equipment, and what we do is we track the azimuth and elevation as a balloon, because we use a helium balloon. We know how fast, if there were no winds or nothing in the air, we know how fast that balloon would rise straight up. So based on that, every 15 seconds, we take another reading, azimuth and elevation, to see where the balloon is moving and how the winds are shifting it. Then we put those into a formula, and we can calculate how fast the winds are moving above the field, which direction they're going, if we should have something that we call a box wind. A box wind, of course, is where the winds move one direction at a certain elevation. You go up higher, they go the exact opposite at a higher elevation. And then as you come back down, you can catch those first winds again, creating a box in the sky. And it's the few times that a pilot from a hot air balloon can actually land in the same spot that they took off. Doesn't happen very often, but does happen quite often in our area based on the terrain.
Larry Gebert with us here today at 580 KIDO from Channel 7 down at Ann Morrison Park. Larry, what goes into your predicting the wind and everything for these guys?
Well, I say we take those readings, we take those wind readings, and then what we do is we calculate that, and so we can tell the pilot how fast the winds are moving. And I can tell you that the winds above the field are moving right between about 7 to maybe 10 miles per hour, and that's about it. And they're all almost moving in the exact same direction, and that goes up 2,000 feet. Most pilots are not going to go more than about 2,000 feet off the ground. Occasionally, they get up around 3,000 from the average terrain, but basically, it's only about 2,000. So those are the winds that they're most concerned with. And I can tell you that they're all just moving one direction, and that means that the pilots are all going to just very gently float out over the city.
Larry, how much longer do we have you for?
They're just ready to start the command for inflation. They're going through some of the opening ceremonies. The mayor from Boise, Mayor Dave Beter, is here this morning. He's the one that's going to give the command to inflate. for today, and so they're going through some of the opening ceremonies with that. We anticipate that they'll give that command to inflate at about 7:15, so I think that roughly around 7:30 is about the time you should start to see some of those balloons in the air.
All right, Larry, a final thought, certainly the big story involving you this week.
Oh, yes, Kevin, yeah. The fact that I was diagnosed and treated for prostate cancer. Yeah, I came forward and released all that information on the air as of Monday. And it's been an interesting experience, of course, being diagnosed with cancer, because like many men out there in the world, I think we all somehow feel like we are, you know, unaffected by things, that nothing's ever going to go wrong with us. I know that I'm like one of the healthiest people I know. I never seem to get sick. I never have any problems. I've never had any kind of issues. So definitely came as a shock to me when I was diagnosed. And the reason I was because I was diligent about being tested every year. It's a PSA test. And I started that years ago at some of the free screenings that I was promoting. I started doing it, and I did it every year, and I kept track of the records. I knew exactly what my numbers were, and when my numbers went up, they didn't go up much. They only went up a little bit, but they did go up. And that's when urologist Dr. Joe Williams told me, he says, you know, we need to do a biopsy. And the biopsy clearly showed that I had cancer.
Larry, we will hear from you more, and we appreciate your honesty and your quest to help others.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. Good talking to you.
All right. Larry Gebert joining us live from Ann Morrison Park. And we'll talk to Larry more about his battle with cancer, and certainly an inspirational story here this morning at 580 KIDO. Joining us now, a man that is always up for the fight, always ready to give every side of the story, Mike Tracy with us, Tracy Communications, man of the world. Good morning, Mike Tracy.
Good morning, Kevin. It's always good to talk with you. And Larry, congratulations to you for your diligence and your work on that. I had a scare with it, and I have lots of friends who have gone through the process. So I'm very diligent about it myself, and I applaud you for letting people know and giving people hope, and also letting people know that there's options out there.
Indeed, and you know that's something that we can't replace, our health.
No, not at all.
Well, Mike, were you shocked that the West Ada bond went down?
Not really. I think there was low voter turnout is always kind of a, that's just a given in special elections, especially at this time of year, people are not fully engaged yet. Labor Day, the weekend hasn't even arrived yet, so this is really one of the deadest weeks of dead weeks in the summer when it comes to any kind of political activity. So when you're looking at elections, especially special elections, turnout is generally going to be very low unless you find some way to push people out to vote in a specific direction.
You know, you take a look at the comments of Dr. Clark, the West Ada superintendent, saying that they will go back again and try harder. Of course, we've seen that in CUNA. We saw it a couple of years ago in Meridian. Do you think that's really fair to the voters, considering that the voters shot it down? They didn't get 2/3.
I think if the voters are going to be approached again, and I think Dr. Clark and her team will, when she talks about working hard, I think what she's talking about is making sure that she connects with voters in a very real way and saying, okay, here are the needs. Here's what we're doing to trim costs. You know me, I do not like tax increases. In fact, I'm always looking for ways to cut taxes. Need, show me the need. If there's a real problem, let's find a solution to this. Because my grandkids, I just registered my grandkids who live with me in the Meridian School District, which is now the West Ada School District, in the schools in the last couple of weeks. And they are getting very crowded. One's in a charter school and one's in Heritage Middle School. And so they are getting crowded. That being said, is everything being done that can be done? And that is the challenge for the management team, for the superintendent, to really get that across to the people in that school district, those school district boundaries. Because what Dr. Clark is looking at is one of the most conservative regions of the entire state of Idaho, where her district, her school district, is one of the most conservative anywhere in the state of Idaho. So that means she has a real challenge. And the fact that she got 62, almost 63%, I think tells me that a lot of the parents, a lot of the people that showed up at the polls understand there's a need. And I'm not advocating one way or the other for this. I'm just pointing out what I see and what I'm observing. Because I do see a need, but by the same token, what steps have been taken to make all the other cuts? Have we exhausted all the other possibilities? And if those questions are answered yes, okay, then what is the next step? Is that $104 million the best way to go, or should we find other alternatives, other directions, other solutions?
An interesting point, Mike Tracy, and let's go to Jim in Middleton. He has a comment on this, and I do want to get back with you because education seems to be the great riddle, not only in Idaho but across the country. But let's go to Jim in Middleton for Mike Tracy with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin, and good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment, you know, we've had these levies out in Middleton and other areas in the Treasure Valley. Every time they're voted down, if we're going to retry it, you know, we're going to, maybe we didn't connect with the voters. Can't we just leave it alone? It was voted down. Look for other alternatives. I mean, the people are so, they're taxed to their eyeballs. And sometimes, and I'm just being a little facetious, sometimes school board administrators, teachers, and so forth hide behind kids like the jihadists. And just cut your budget and go that way. I mean, can't these people understand the American people are taxed enough, and every time a levy is voted down, it is, well, we're going to retry it, we're going to spend more money to get back out there. I'm just sick and tired of that.
Jim, you really make a good point. And, in fact, it's interesting that you bring that up. In the mid-1980s, I lived in Pocatello, and I was on the library board in Pocatello, and I was the vice chairman. And we needed a new library because literally the one that we had was built for a community of about 10,000 people. And at the time, we had 50,000 people in Pocatello. And it was like having a little house on the prairie library for a town of 50,000 people. It was really too small. So we put a bond on the thing, and we got slaughtered. Only 47% of the people voted for it. So we went back to the drawing board, and we did find another solution. There was a Buttrees grocery store that had closed in Pocatello, and we got together, and one of the people on our board in our group said, why don't we just ask Buttrees to give us the building because it's just sitting there doing nothing. It was $1.1 million worth of property, and guess what? We asked for it, and Buttrees gave it to us, and all of a sudden we had a new building for a library, and it didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. And it was a great solution, and we ended up having a new library for Pocatello, and this was 30 years ago, and you're absolutely right. Sometimes there's creative solutions, and there may be a solution here that is different than going back to the taxpayers and saying, boy, we really need this bond. My wife is a teacher in the Nampa School District, Jim. She teaches special ed, and she runs the special ed department in the South Middle School in Nampa. And I can tell you she has a lot of challenges. She doesn't have an aide this year for the first time. Her sister is a teacher in the Meridian School District. I know exactly what their challenges are because I hear it at the breakfast table and the dinner table,
yeah.
And I also hear it at night when I'm going to bed. I hear about the challenges. So I hear the pluses and the negatives and all of that. What we really need to do is find a solution that works for everybody, that is not taxing on the taxpayers, and that also at the same time takes care of the students and the teachers, because those are the folks on the at the ground level that really are affected the most. If there's ways to cut other places, and the administration may not like to hear this, but sometimes it's administration and other things that need to be looked at. I say look at those things, and if those things have been cut to the bone and really cut, then you have to look at all the solutions that are on the table and then say, okay, what is the most logical direction to go?
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Mike Tracy, how long do we have you this morning?
Well, I'm headed to another meeting that I have at 7:30, but I'll be happy to talk later. I always enjoy talking with you, Kevin. It's wonderful.
Well, Jim appreciates it. Mike Tracy, we do. Thank you for coming on such short notice, and we want to take advantage of your expertise, certainly from here on in. So thank you, sir.
Well, it's fun. Thanks for what you're doing, too.
Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye. Our great friend Mike Tracy breaking it down for us.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by our friend from Channel 7, Carolyn Holly, live from Atlanta. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Do I sound pretty good here, Kevin?
That sounds incredible. It took me 10 years to master y'all.
Yes, sir. I hear a lot of that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And you know what? It's all about respect around here. We are in the South with the Broncos. And I'm telling you what, Kevin, the weather is great. The attractions, there's so many more than when we were here a couple of years ago for the Georgia game. When the Broncos fans come out here, they're going to find, if they come over to Centennial Park, right in the middle of downtown, there's a brand-new Ferris wheel that gives you incredible views of all of Atlanta. And then, just opening in the last 3 days, the College Football Hall of Fame. And it's an incredible building, $66 million building, right on the edge of Centennial Olympic Park. And I understand that there is a tribute to BSU great Randy Troutman inside there. The doors are not open yet. I haven't had a chance to see it, but Mark Johnson will be on that assignment today, and we'll bring you more on our news at 4.
Carolyn, you'll have to let me know when you have to leave, but tell us about the coverage of what y'all will have on Channel 7 this week.
Well, we're going to be on every show leading right up to the kickoff of this new Harsin era with a special pregame show that we have planned for you from inside the Georgia Dome that will start at 5 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be right down there on the field, but JTS has put together some tremendous pieces on this new era, as I mentioned. There's so much anticipation. What's it going to be like? I mean, we all knew of that explosive offense when Harsin was the coordinator before. Now everyone's excited to see what he's going to bring. Could be a tough road, though. Ole Miss, they're ranked this year in the preseason poll. They're favored by 10. But, you know, you never know. That Bronco magic, it always seems.
Carolyn, what's the mood like there?
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody this morning, but I can tell you, Kevin, that from our plane trip out here, we had about 20 Bronco fans that got on with the plane when we got out of Boise Lake. See, we left about 6:15 yesterday morning, and the pilot was encouraging them to give a few cheers on that Southwest Airlines flight. We get to Denver, we find more Bronco fans in the airport. Then we get to Atlanta, and we are finding fans who are coming from the East Coast, like Washington, D.C., who have come over here. Talk to a lot of them. Again, two words that they use, anxious and anticipation. So everybody just kind of wants to get her done, get this season going.
Carolyn, one more quick question here. How do you like being called ma'am? See, I just love the gentility of the South.
I love the respect. And you know what? I'll take it, because what I've heard, this does not mean that you're old.
No.
It means respect. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And then, of course, y'all, that can mean just you or all of you. So I'm living it up here in the South, and I'm so looking forward to bringing all this coverage to everyone. In fact, I'm about ready to try to jump on top of that new Ferris wheel. It's 200 feet high. I'm scared of heights, so I don't know how this is going to be. But I am challenged to bring our viewers the best shots I can out of Atlanta and also show you what the fans who are traveling here are going to get a chance to do.
Well, we look forward to it. By the way, great shot of you and D with the ice bucket challenge. That was awesome.
Hey, we're always up for a challenge. With my buddy next to me, there's nothing we can't do. So she's going to hold down the fort for us while Mark and I are here. And we'll have lots of coverage for you, all of our viewers. So tune in. right up till kickoff.
All right, Carolyn. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir. See you all later.
Bye-bye. Carolyn Ollie joining us live from Channel 7 there. And they do that, you ma'am and sir. And certainly we appreciate her making time for us this morning. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men,
men, men, men, men, manly men, 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 men,
580KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Dave Burnett with us as we get ready for the day at hand. I got to tell you, I'm a little spacey this morning.
Why? Just jet lag from the coast?
I don't know, but no, it's not that. It's just one of those things, and I don't know about your sleep patterns, but you know, the night before I got some really good sleep. Last night I just couldn't. I went to bed early enough, just couldn't sleep.
Yeah, you know, that's the deal. When you're used to getting up at a certain time, and then you take a few days off, you break that routine. For those who get up early, you get that. I mean, it messes you up to try to get back on that schedule.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sitting here going over things, and I'm just not retaining everything today. So this could be a very thought-provoking show.
So if we find you wandering in the parking lot, we need to bring you back in?
It's kind of like when you mentioned the basketball team, and I said, yeah, the football, whatever. And you go, you're not even listening. And it, you know, just caught me there. So.
Well, there you go.
Maybe my mind is on the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic entering day two.
Yeah, about 20 balloons scheduled to launch this morning between 7:30. You'll see those going up. So, yeah, going to be a big day out there. I get a call last night. I got to share this because none of the staff listened. So I got to share this. I get a call last night late, and they said, now, any chance we can change Kevin Miller being live at the balloons to tomorrow, meaning Thursday, this morning? At 7:30, I went, no. We're not changing that. He'll be there Friday morning out broadcasting live. So, yes, at the last minute, they tried to switch us up and take us out there. When I say us, I mean you. So that would have really made you loopy.
Now, you got to be careful because they do kind of listen because they're all at the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic, at least on their way there. Now, here's something. Mm-hmm. I got a text last night at 7:53 asking whether or not we were there today or tomorrow from the staff.
Yeah, so there was big confusion. I got it straightened out, and I said, no, we're not changing. We're going Friday. So we got that all done.
Well, I'm glad we figured out where we are.
Yeah, well, some of us know where we are this morning anyway. But, right. Yeah, about 20 balloons should be launching between 7:30. The weather looks to be ideal for the launch, so that's good news.
It is, and it's just another wonderful event. We do want to thank our friend Scott Spencer, of course, Town Square Media, and the staff and management here for bringing these events because, you know, it'd be very easy to be like all the other slappies and not do anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to balloons, people think of Albuquerque. They think of several areas, and it's something that Boise, especially in the ballooning world, has thought of. A lot of people come from all across the country to make this event.
And you're going to see that. Of course, we'll be there tomorrow. Then you've got the night glow and, of course, the infamous knockover, the porta potties, which I don't know why that is such a big thing, but Scott
Ballooners
Spencer seems to like that. Yeah.
Ballooners, so they love that. They think it's fun.
Yeah, I really don't see the
till you're in the porta potty. That's, you know, it's not much fun then.
No, not at all. So we've got that going on. Of course, the big game tonight. How do you see this playing out?
You know, I think again, you know, it's like shaking the dice and Scrabble and throwing them out at the start of the season to see what you got. With the NFL, you know, year after year, what you got kind of going on. High school and college sports, you just don't know until it happens. So we'll see what happens. Coach Harsin has held the cards very close to the vest, and as I understand it, that's the way he is. He'll be that way all the time. He just tries to keep, you know, when you're running a lot of motion, a lot of shift, a lot of trickeration, which is supposed to be back, you don't want a whole lot of people knowing. So I think both on defense and offense, Boise State's advantage would be the unknown element. You know, Ole Miss is going, okay, what do they got? They're watching 3-4-year-old film, and they still don't know. I think the other advantage Boise State has is, okay, you're going to laugh when I say this, kicking, special teams. I think that will be an advantage for Boise State. Goodall, who is one of the, you know, he's been nominated on several watch lists, even though Boise State has had their issues through the years, very solid on kicking. Ole Miss got a freshman in there doing the job, and they don't know. That is a That's an element that they don't know. So I think advantage goes there. Otherwise, physicality. Ole Miss has the physicality. It's just a matter. Can that element of surprise get Boise State up, and then can they run on adrenaline and emotion? Because physically, I think I'm fearful, and I could be proved wrong, but by the end of the game, I think physicality may wear the Broncos down.
I think another thing we have to take a look at, though, is Brian Harsin. I mean, he had one season at Arkansas State, and he had two seasons as the co-offensive coordinator. Was it two or three in Texas?
Two.
Two with Major Applewhite, mm-hmm. And we're going to see what type of coach he is. It's very easy, and again, we've all done this, to talk the talk. Now he has to walk the walk.
Yeah, I mean, none of us know. I mean, as fans, you don't know. I mean, we don't know how Harsin is. We didn't know how Pete was to work under. You don't know how Nick Saban is. You hear, stories. You don't know how Urban Meyer is. You hear the stories, but unless you're a player and have been under the system, you don't know.
Right, but on the other hand, those guys all had much more experience than Mr. Harsin.
Yep, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Right, but again, when you're going to compare him to Urban Meyer, who worked his way up from Bowling Green, was there for 3 or 4 years, then the Utah, 3 or 4 years, it seems to me that coaches jump a lot quicker these days than they did even, 10 or 20 years ago with Urban Meyer.
Big money, got to grab it while you can, because if you have two bad seasons, see ya.
Big money, got to grab it. What is that, a T-shirt you're making? Big money,
nope,
grab it.
That's a motto of college coaching. Big money, grab it while you can, then get out.
Well, what about the kids? I thought it was about the kids.
Yeah, about the kids, too. It's not about the kids. Come on. It's about the big money.
I see.
Well, grab it while you can. Quick, get out.
I suppose.
Before they get you.
Yeah, before they get you. It's always that way, before they get you. I just like to get them once.
Yeah.
I've been gotten a few times.
You'll have to be an athletic director or a college president to do that.
Yeah, well, they get those guys, too.
Oh, yeah. All that right. Is a very real possibility, but I will go no further than that.
What?
No, that's always a possibility. They could get you.
What, the athletic director?
I have no opinions.
You have no opinions?
I don't. I can't say anything. I'm sorry. I've opened my mouth too wide now.
About athletic directors?
No.
That's what I was talking about.
I know.
I know. I'm trying to get it back to the conversation. I don't know where you are.
I'm wandering in the parking lot, dragging me in, please.
Well, you got the please take me home.
Yeah.
Home, I don't know where it is. But you've got, back to Brian Harsin, living his dream as the Boise State coach. Well, look, we all wish him well. I give him props for really getting in touch with the community. The press a little upset with him. Now, I've heard a rumor there on the concerning BSU coverage. Have you heard about this? And, Kevin, it's kind of a little convoluted what you said. Well, Dave, thank you for pointing that up. But I heard that if you wear red to practices, that they will tell you that they don't want you to wear red shirts.
That could be. I have heard the same thing, and I'm not sure why.
Because it's Fresno State colors or something ridiculous like that.
But you want, no, that's good. That's good. Build that stuff in there.
If you're but you don't work for the university. I mean, and here's something that you and I disagree on here at 580 KIDO. But
oh, you mean if you're an outsider and wear it in?
Right. If you're a member of the press, I mean, they've gone up to the press people and said, mm-hmm. "Hey, we'd appreciate if you don't wear red." Well, go pound sand, buddy. I mean, these athletic programs, they're just politicians are the same way. They want you just to roll over for them, and they don't really do anything for you. Like, we're on the team. On the team? What team am I on? My paycheck comes from such and such.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that. I like the fact that there are certain things, certain traditions, certain you don't do this. I mean, there's certain things in colleges that have been around for 100 years, and people go, why did that start? But, you just don't do that tradition. Oakland Raiders, when Al Davis was alive, nobody ever got to sit at practice. Nobody. I had a good friend who was the trucking company that hauled the equipment to and from them. They were caught sitting down once, and Al Davis got mad at them. Nobody sits at a Raider practice. The Raiders might use some of that now again, that fire. But I like traditions that have started. And, if you got a Cub reporter coming in from Mickey Mouse TV to cover the Broncos and, gosh, sorry, Coach Harsin, I've got red on. Get out of here.
Yeah, but who's Brian Harsin to tell the press what to wear? It's a public university. He's paid by the people of Idaho.
It's a tradition, Kevin.
No, it's not a tradition. It wasn't there under Coach Pete. This guy hasn't had – I've had as many wins at Boise State as he's had as a head coach.
Well, I mean, who is he to do this? I mean,
he's
this is
a head coach. It's fun.
No, it isn't. It's America.
You're being crotchety. Kevin,
no,
it's fun.
I'm not being crotchety. I think that, again, these folks, and Coach Pete was the same way. If you asked him a legitimate question, he scowled and yelled at you in his own Coach Pete sort of way.
You know, it's his way of diverting it.
You know something? If you don't like it, then don't do it. Then don't accept the money. But I think part of the problem with these colleges, whether it's the Power Five or anybody else, is they get full of themselves. They get full of who and what they are. And it's like, dude, you're a state employee. And if I'm working for KIDO, or if I'm working for the Press Tribune, or if I'm working for the Statesman, and you tell me not to wear red, and I think that, you know, I'm surprised some blogger hasn't put that up, because quite frankly, I think it's ridiculous. I would be worried more about my quarterback and Ole Miss than whether Billy from the Valley News is wearing red.
Yeah, see, I just think it's a fun thing to do. I think there are traditions that are started for whatever reason. I mean, why would you disgrace a statue by rubbing the head of the statue onto the field? That's ridiculous. No, it's a tradition.
But it's not a tradition. If it's for the team, that's great. But it's not for the team. It's for a grown men and grown women, allegedly, if there are any women that cover the Broncos. And could you imagine going up to Aaron Andrews? Sorry, Aaron, we're not going to do the halftime interview because you're wearing red.
I mean, think that's awesome. I think that'd be the best ever.
Right. But, I mean, like the LSU game, when they thought they were going to beat Alabama, she was all decked out in purple, and she was on the purple side and all that. And, you know, again, she lost. So what was it, Pam Oliver, whoever got to interview the winning coach, Nick Saban. But I think, again, this is America. And I think sometimes when you have young people – and how old's Harsin? 30-something?
Maybe it's in his 30s.
Okay, you have young people that get their first really big job. You know, you have a tendency to do this. I know I've done that in the past. You know, you make mistakes.
See, I just think starting tradition somewhere, and if one of them's not wearing red because of your rivalry, your biggest rival at Fresno State, I think it's fine. So, you know, traditions, Script Ohio, Howard's Rock, they all started somewhere.
Right.
Terrible Towel started in Pittsburgh. Why would they want to do that?
Because it was done by Myron Cope, number one, and it's not the same thing. You don't sit there and tell the press, hey, you got to wave this towel. It's, again, there's a difference between the fans and the people that are paid to cover them. That's the difference.
I see.
He has no right to tell anybody what to wear and say, hey, buddy, maybe you should start wearing. I, you know, again, it's a tradition one thing if it's with the fans. When you start dictating things to the media, then it gets out of hand. And, I mean, we're yapping about a red shirt. There's a difference. The Terrible Towel. Myron Cope, a legendary announcer, died 5 or 6 years ago. I covered the funeral. The guy was a legend. And, you know, the great thing about the Terrible Towels is that Myron Cope never made a dollar off of them. What he did was, for the licensing fee and everything else, it goes to a home, for lack of a better term, for the actual description, for special needs, because his son has special needs, and it funded a lot of those things. And, you know, again, that to me is, you know, it's kind of weird to compare those.
Well, I'm just saying traditions. I'm not talking about the purpose.
There's a guy on the Channel 7 right now wearing red. Better get him.
He's wearing orange. You got a bad TV. He's wearing Bronco orange. I have it in here too.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
You know what your issue is, and we haven't seen this for a long time.
What?
Is Bronco bias. Here we go, everybody.
No, you know what? If the University of Idaho doesn't want their players wearing a certain color because that's their right, if they don't want them wearing orange, or don't want the fans wearing orange, or don't want the media wearing orange to their events, I'm good with that.
It's a public practice, and the press has rights in America. And if you don't stand up for your rights, as silly as it is, then they go away. By the way, I want to thank the University of Idaho for getting back with us. I don't know how many times I hear from the Vandal people, oh, we never get any coverage. It's always about the blue and orange. Your station used to be blue and orange, blah, blah, blah. We've reached out to the University of Idaho several times. Heck, starting, 4 or 5 weeks ago to get Coach Petrino on, and we never heard back. And how can you sit there and complain about lack of attendance, lack of motivation? And I know there are a lot of good people from Idaho that want to see that program restored,
when your public relations person doesn't get back to the press.
Yeah, it's not good, but maybe it's a tradition they're starting.
Apparently not talking to the press, but I mean, I just sit here and I think to myself, you know, the Kibbe Dome, God bless them, best to them. They need people to go out. They have a great alumni base here. You talk to the movers and shakers in the Treasure Valley, and they're all vandals.
There's a lot of them,
You know, we wanted to get this guy on, Coach Petrino, and talk about motivation, talk about running a competitive program, what he's going to do. Maybe not so much X's and O's, and they never got back with us. And it's like, it's like having a party and not telling your friends that you're going to have a party.
Yeah. It's not good.
Well, we got that going on. By the way, quickly, and I predicted this 27 years ago.
Wow.
That Mitt Romney will run again. And now we've got a published report saying circumstances can change. Get this now. You talk about the ultimate flip-flopper. Romney denied it like 75 times on Meet the Press. He's denied it that he's would ever consider it. And if you watch the Netflix documentary, you think, why didn't this guy get elected? But apparently now, looks like he might consider it.
Worked out well last time. I'm just saying.
But I mean, can you go back? I mean, if I'm Hillary Clinton, if I'm Billy, if I'm whoever, I just do the flip-flop thing. I mean, Mitt Romney said that the last time he was done, do you really want this one more time?
Yeah.
Haven't we seen enough?
You're leaving lots of ammo for the opposition there. There's just lots. Oh, something just dawned on me. I get the problem with the red. It's crimson red you're worried about. Isn't it, Kevin?
I don't know about that.
It's crimson red, and you're afraid you'll be caught wearing it at a Boise State event.
I got something for you real quick, and I know this is real quick. But
yes, make it really quick.
You know, I found out my sister-in-law is like you. She's a beaver.
Ah, right.
I go to the candy store at the Oregon coast. I go, dude, why don't you buy the ducks? Because we're beavers. Well, you may be a beaver, but on the West Coast, I'm a duck.
I'm telling you right now, Corvallis, you do not wear green, and you do not wear yellow. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic going on now. Why don't you stop by and check them out this morning. We'll be there tomorrow. 580 KIDO, let's get you to work safely and on time. And 559 coming up next, we'll speak with Mark Johnson live from the big ATL. What do they call that? Hotlanta? He'll give us a preview of tonight's game, BSU versus Ole Miss. It's my sister's name, Ole Miss. Anyway, we will talk to Mark Johnson. Also, Dr. Don Corbelly will join us at 7 o'clock with a bunch of folks from the Boise School District. We'll take a look at the upcoming school year. Some back-to-school tips right here at 580 KIDO. Good morning.